I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening. We're going to be really talking about powerful techniques, and these techniques would have been developed by master yogis like Sri Swami Satchidananda, Sri Ramana Maharshi, and also some extraterrestrial techniques thrown in for good measure. And before we get to the heart of the matter this evening, I'd like to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And because of the nature of tonight's program, which is a little different spin on ET Yoga, because over the course of time, I have presented a number of techniques, but tonight's program is going to really focus on those alone. And the first one that I'm going to share with you this evening, I'll give some more explanation about after we hear it, but it will be the Hari Om mantra meditation as presented by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So hopefully the guys in the booth can now share that with our audience.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om.
All right. Thank you very much there, Swami Satchidananda, for his version of the Hari Om mantra meditation. It's a very powerful technique. And for those that have the opportunity to rehear this time and time again, and a couple ways you can do that. One is to go to the archives at BBS Radio, and look under the ET Yoga Show and go into current archives. And another way is to go to www.etyoga.com, which is my website. And there you just scroll down to radio archives, click the button, and it'll take you into the BBS archives. This particular mantra meditation in integral yoga terms, and integral yoga is the foundation that Swami Satchidananda founded. The integral yoga is comprised of six different yogas, one of those being japa yoga, J-A-P-A, japa yoga, or meditation of mantra. And this mantra, the Hari Om mantra, can be done either internally or orally. And as you could see from the demonstration, it can be done with varying frequencies, with rapidity or slowness. And used as a meditation, it can be also used in that same way. And if you're doing it as a meditation, you could find the frequency or the repetition rate that is most suitable for you, and try to maintain the repetition of the mantra. And if you find that you slowly lose concentration or become aware that you've lost concentration, just gently bring your mind back to the mantra and continue. I find this one a most powerful technique, and this version was actually done by Satchidananda back in the 1970s. He left this plane of existence in 2002, and for those that are not old enough to remember, back in the days of Woodstock, Sri Swami Satchidananda actually did the opening comments at the ceremony there at Woodstock. One of the most famous yogis on the planet. He has founded Yogaville, which still exists today in West Virginia. He was kind of known by Ram Dass as one of the big boys on the planet. And another one of the big boys on the West Coast was Paramahansa Yogananda, and a lot of people from California are familiar with his foundation there of Self-Realization Fellowship. And between these two great Indian yoga masters, much information is passed on to America from these two beings. And I personally had spent time with Satchidananda, and although I did take a couple of years of courses from the Yogananda Institute, the Self-Realization, I've always sort of I wanted actually to have a teacher in physical form, and he was certainly filled the bill there. One of the most amazing people that I've ever had the pleasure to meet. Now, I'd like to now continue with another technique. This one will be from from Pleiadian information, and actually the Pleiadians have mentioned that many people have asked for sort of a series of things that they could do that actually work. And one of the things that the Pleiadians suggest is the Pleiadian Pillar of Light meditation. And the way that I do the Pillar of Light meditation actually has a number of wrinkles to it, and I'm going to go into that next. I like to begin by sitting with my spine straight and then saying to myself, I effortlessly intend to connect a silver-blue cord to my base chakra and have it extend all the way down to the center of the earth and ground me there. So as usual on ET Yoga, if you happen to have a pen or pencil handy, we'll be covering a lot of ground tonight, and I can't take too much time to really slow down. So if you need to either take notes, or if it is more convenient for you to check out the archives and view this information at your leisure, that's another way that you can catch up if I'm going a little bit too fast from time to time. So I would do that three times. So I start off by effortlessly intending a silver-blue cord connected to my base chakra and have it visualize it going, extending down into the center of the earth and grounding. The whole idea here is grounding you and your base chakra to the earth. Next, the idea is to actually call upon the pillar of light coming down from whatever concept you would use as source, be it prime creator, all that is, God, whatever label you would like to use to define infinite energy, and ask for a pillar of light to come down through all of your chakra systems. And in this particular case, I intend it to come all through my 12 chakra system. I know many people are familiar with the seven chakras in the physical body, but in point of fact, there's also five outside the physical body. So I effortlessly intend that the pillar of light come through my 12th, 11th, 10th, 9th, 8th, in through my crown chakra, down through my 7th, 6th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1st chakra, and then down into the center of the earth. And if you focus on this pillar of light with your head at a slight angle, maybe even a 32-degree angle, you may not find that your head will lock into the place there because you're automatically in the right position. I find when I do this, and I'm really focused on the energy coming down through all the chakras, and I may repeat that three, four, five times until I start to feel the energy. And then when I start to feel the energy, if my head's not in the proper place, it usually locks into place. I'm not certain if that's a characteristic that other people will find, but that's what I find. And in this particular meditation, you're basically drawing pure light from higher dimensions through your entire chakra system. Now, the variations that I use off of this would be that after I do that for approximately 10 to 15 minutes, I would then ask for another beam or a pillar of light coming down through all my chakras and coming down into my fourth chakra and then flowing out into my aura or light body. So you've now got a connection of a beam of light coming down through all your chakra system, but as it comes in, meets into your fourth chakra, your heart chakra, that then you send that energy out into your it's actually your light body or your Merkaba vehicle. The other variable that I use off that technique is to then visualize another beam of light coming down through all my chakra system. And as it enters into the seventh or a crown chakra, that it enters every cell in my body and fills every cell in my body with light. So there's a three-prong effect here, that the first beam is straight down through all the chakras, down into the center of the earth. The second variation coming down into your fourth chakra and then out into your aura or your light body. And the third variation is just filling every cell in your system with light. So those are that's the technique that I use for the pillar of light. Pillar of light comes from a Pleiadian information. And the original mention that I could find of this would be in the book Bringers of the Dawn. That's by Barbara Marciniak. In my estimation, this is sort of the classic extraterrestrial book. If you're not been reading anything related to extraterrestrial information, I mean, like everything else, there's lots out there that's disinformation that's not accurate, and et cetera, but in my opinion, this is one of the books that's highly accurate and actually does reflect Pleiadian teaching. And I believe that book came out in the 1980s. And Bringers of the Dawn, I consider it like the classic text for extraterrestrial information, kind of like I consider the classic text for yogic information. It would be Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. Amazing book. Actually, both books, to my way of thinking, are the classics in their respective fields. Now, in conjunction with the Pillar of Light, the Pleiadians also suggest what's called the Pleiadian spinning technique. And this is another highly powerful technique, because what you're doing is spinning your chakra system. And it does allow you in time to access more and more information. Can be a very simple technique. Some people catch on to it a little quicker than others. It's almost comparable to, from my recollection, kind of like riding a bicycle. It's like the first time you ride a bike when you kind of find your balance and you're actually pedaling the bike. And, you know, maybe even the first day or so, you maybe sometimes lose concentration there and may fall. But the spinning techniques, once you do them, it's kind of like another analogy would be like kind of like doing a headstand. If you've never done a headstand, you might struggle at a little bit at the beginning, but once you get it, you may do them, you know, 500 or 1,000 of them in a row without faltering. So it's one of these things that you just need to play with and practice with a little bit. Now, the technique that I use is basically to stand. Typically, I face the sun, and I try to stand in an area away from glass or away from anywhere that you might have an accident. If you're, especially when you're first starting out and you're first learning this, because you're going to be doing, you know, spinning, and you want to try to avoid kind of the actions of a drunken sailor. Where, you know, you might have a problem. I would suggest to start slowly. The Pleiadians suggest that you work up to 33 spins. And the technique I use is to stand with my feet about a foot apart or a shoulder's length apart. And I bring my hands together at chest level. And then I focus on my thumbs. And the focus on the thumbs is the key thing that can keep your balance. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I just seem to catch on to this one from the very first get-go. I never had any problem of losing balance or, you know, falling anywhere or whatever. You know, I could do this surrounded by, you know, glass or whatever at this point. However, concentration is the key, and the concentration needs to be focused on the thumbs. And when you then have your hands together, at chest level and focusing on your thumbs, you start to turn in a clockwise direction. And from my understanding, the clockwise direction is for those in the northern hemisphere. Possibly in the southern hemisphere, you might turn opposite. However, the idea here being that as you start turning, and usually when I start doing the spinning, I usually say to myself, Om 1, as I make a complete turn, then Om 2, Om 3, and up to 33. And typically, I only do 33 in one session, although the Palladians recommend that at some point you work up to doing 33 spins three times a day. And their original comment was, do 33 spins three times a day for a few months, and let's see if you stay on the planet, or at least in this dimension. That's their initial comment in teaching this technique. Very powerful technique. Okay, now I want to move on to the next technique, which is actually taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi. For those not familiar with Sri Ramana Maharshi, I would highly recommend reading his book on self-inquiry. Man was one of the most amazing people on the planet. Most of us have an experience of higher consciousness, and then we spend the rest of our life trying to attain or maintain that level. But with Sri Ramana Maharshi was a ripe soul. First time he went through the doorway, he stayed there. Like, that's his experience. And The Path of Self-Knowledge is the book that I first read of his, that when I read it, I realized that, yes, in point of fact, what he had experienced was true and so, because I had similar experience. And not that I stayed in the state of enlightenment, but had this similar experience of Nirvikalpa Samadhi, which was going through the doorway by doing the Who Am I technique. And an interesting little story here of how I actually came across that information. I was in Vancouver, British Columbia at the time, and there was a newspaper called the Georgia Strait. And actually, they ran an article by Baba Ram Dass. For those not familiar with Baba Ram Dass, he was formerly known as Richard Alpert, taught psychology at Harvard University, and then eventually went to India and got clued into the real truth about the way things work. And when he came back to Harvard and started teaching, they couldn't really handle that, so they basically he got fired from Harvard. Ram Dass, another one of the famous guys from the 60s, really famous for his book Be Here Now, Now Be Here, different kind of a book, and full of really accurate spiritual information. And this whole concept of the Who Am I technique, it was in the article of Ram Dass. He gave the technique, and that's where I got it from. And then I eventually got clued into Sri Ramana Maharshi. And he calls the technique the Vichara. And the Vichara was, at that time, back, some 30-some years ago, was only given to, like, the most advanced disciples. It is a technique that requires total focus and concentration. And although we're not going to take the full time to go through a full meditation of it, I want to give people a flavor for, like, how that would work. The idea being to, again, be totally centered with the spine straight, and repeating the question, who am I, multiple times. And then inserting into that the idea is that I am not my body, I am not my internal organs, I am not my thoughts, I am not this spot. What spot? So when you start the meditation, usually the spot would be the ajna center of the third eye area of the above your eyebrow level on your forehead, and focusing on that spot, trying to put all your focus and concentration and energy into that spot. So you become that spot. And you're asking the question, who am I? Who am I? And of course, when you ask questions, the answers do come to you, the question being whether you can hear them or not. And when you then get into the process of, I am not my body, I am not my internal organs, I am not my thoughts, I am not this spot, what spot? That's the process. And done with perfect focus and concentration, bang, that's a doorway. And when you go through that doorway, that is where you can realize a oneness with your higher self. And a very, very powerful technique. He even suggests that you can ask the question, who am I, at any time during the day, whatever you're doing. His basic premise was to at least do that particular technique of just asking, who am I, you know, an hour or two a day, and seeing the results. So this is the Who Am I technique by Sri Ramana Maharshi. Next, I'd like to talk about a little bit about the yogic breathing, because everyone talks about the importance of yogic breathing. And basically, it's to oxygenate the system, purifies the blood, and we all are familiar with the concept that disease does not exist in an oxygenated environment. And Bashar Essasani, channeled by Daryl Anka, highly suggests yogic breathing as a basic, one of the basics of health. And also, in the yogic practices, many people may have come across the yogic breathing exercises at a yoga class where they do asanas or the hatha yoga part of yoga. But as Satchitananda used to say, yoga is more about standing on your own two feet than it is standing on your head. And many people in the West get the idea that hatha yoga is, you know, what yoga is. But in point of fact, hatha yoga is just a portion of the overall yogas. And the word yoga actually means union of you and your higher self. And thus, in integral yoga, as taught by Swami Satchitananda, there are six different branches or types of yogas. And we've done a show on that. I made time to time do another one, but I'm not going into all the branches of the Integral Yoga program this evening, although the yogic breathing, I'm just going to mention four basic breathing exercises that you can do, because so many people would have written me and actually asked me to share this information. Either they can't afford to go to a place where they can pay for it, or are having some difficulty locating information on yogic breathing. So my suggestion is to start with the basic one where you're you are sitting comfortably with your spine straight again, to cover your left nostril with your thumb and breathe in your right nostril to a count of 10. And usually I do that by counting Om 1, Om 2, Om 3, up to Om 10. And then switching from breathing in the right nostril with the your thumb blocking your left nostril, to then take the remainder of your fingers and block your right nostril and breathe out your left nostril to a count of 20. And again, doing Om 1, Om 2, Om 3, Om 4, Om 5, up to Om 20. So you're breathing in 10, out 20. And then reversing the process, you're then breathing in the left nostril to a count of 10 and out the right nostril to a count of 20. And then breathing in the right nostril to a count of 10 and out the left nostril to a count of 20, alternating breathing in and closing off the opposite nostril. I would suggest to do that for about 5 to 10 minutes, Then moving on to the next one of the breathing exercises is just quick breathing in and out. So you would basically breathe in both nostrils in and out very rapidly and do it about 30 times and then take a break. And then breathe in and out both nostrils rapidly another 30 times, take a break. And then breathe in and out both nostrils 30 times, take another break. Then moving on to the third technique, which would be to similar to the first one where you're covering your left nostril with your thumb, breathing in your right nostril to a count of 10, but now holding the breath for count of, let's say, starting with a count of 20 to 25 and covering both nostrils while you're holding the breath. And then when you breathe out, you'll breathe out again for a count of 20 out the left nostril and then repeat the process in reverse. So then you're going to breathe in the left nostril, closing off the right nostril with your fingers, breathing in for a count of 10, holding for a count of 20 to 25, and then closing off, where you're closing off both nostrils while you're holding your breath, and then opening up the right nostril, breathing out for a count of 20. Now, you would do this to a point where you get comfortable, and then you can increase the amount of time that you hold the breath. And when you hold the breath, you might start off with holding for a count of 20, then work up to 25 over a period of time. And time meaning what's relative, I guess, to you and what's your comfort level. You don't want to strain yourself while doing this. It's a very powerful technique. And then working up to a 10-40-20 ratio. So then you'd be breathing in 10, holding for 40, and out 20. And I don't suggest you start with that. You start with something very comfortable and easy to do. And then that's the third technique. The fourth technique is basically one where you curl your tongue and breathe in through your tongue and your mouth area and visualize the energy going up into your third eye or sixth chakra in the center of your forehead, and then holding there whatever's comfortable and then breathing out. And typically I would do that at least three times. So those are four techniques for doing pranayams, or yogic breathing. Next, I'd like to move on to a Merkaba technique. And now the Merkaba technique, for those who are not familiar with this at all, Merkaba technique is, on the net, it's highly controversial. There are many different people claiming that there's a certain way to do it, or a certain method that is superior to other methods, and there's a few people out there, Ashiana Dean and actually Dronvalo Mikelzadek, that have kind of gone back and forth with different ideas concerning this particular meditation. I resonate with the information I'll be giving on the show this evening with respect to what my experience has shown me to be the correct way of doing this. Now, for those that are not familiar, there's a Merkaba field around every object that exists in third dimension. And if you're not familiar or had a feeling about your own Merkaba field, I suggest just sitting comfortably, could be on a floor, could be on a mat, could be in a chair, but sitting very comfortably and imagining that you're sitting inside a pyramidal shape structure and then feeling the energy. And that, to me, is a good starting point. Then the next thing that I do is I visualize myself inside of this pyramid. There are two counter-rotating tetrahedrons, and these tetrahedrons, you can actually punch up counter-rotating tetrahedrons, I believe, on your computer, and you can get a visual of this, but it looks like a triangle shape that with the apex pointing up and another triangle shape with the apex pointing down, and they're superimposed about halfway into each other. And if that's not a good explanation, then I suggest, you know, you look on look that up on your computer until you get the idea of what these counter-rotating tetrahedrons should look like. So one spins in one direction, one spins in the other. And what you're doing while you're inside your basic pyramidal shape, inside that pyramidal shape, you are inside your counter-rotating tetrahedrons. And the process would be to say to yourself that you're feeling the love and you're kind of lighting up this entire tetrahedron shape. And you say to yourself, my counter-rotating tetrahedrons are counter-rotating in a balanced way at half the speed of light. And then from there, you would progress into my counter-rotating tetrahedrons are counter-rotating in a balanced way at 60% the speed of light. And then working up to 90% the speed of light, then up to 99% the speed of light, and then faster than the speed of light. Now, with respect to that particular point, we're going faster than the speed of light. This is where some of the controversy comes in. There isn't any controversy about the Merkaba, the counter-rotating tetrahedrons, but the controversy comes about surpassing the speed of light. Now, in conversations with Dan Winter, it was discovered that in the Merkaba meditation, the head needed to tilt back 32 degrees, entering the phi golden mean ratio before it could actually transcend the speed of light. And the 32-degree tilt is also the tilt angle of the chin of the Sphinx and corresponds to the pump mechanism of the Kundalini. So, and this is the information that I most resonate with at this point. They say to first sit with your spine straight as you want your central channel unobstructed. Come to the point in your meditation in which you visualize your star tetrahedron around you, and then you say, equal speed. Exhale or blow. Next, inhale and visualize a cube around the tetrahedron and say 3421. Exhale and blow. Inhale and see a dodecahedron around the cube and say 9/10 the speed of light. Exhale or blow. Inhale and tilt your head back about 32 degrees and imagine your cube tilting back into the dodecahedron. And then say, faster than the speed of light, exhale or blow. And then you'll notice as the head tilts back that a type of pump is formed from the tilt of the head and the straight spine and the angle of the sacrum. Relax with the head resting back and notice if your spine becomes hot or tingling as your Kundalini activates. And also be aware of the terrific spin of your Merkaba. You may find yourself almost locked into this position as it is feels very cleansing, open, and awe-inspiring. And when you are ready, straighten your head back to its normal position. Now, a message concerning this is that and this is from a person called Carrie, who on the net adheres to this process as well. And this is ascension. This is what it's all about. And he says that anyone that needs a vessel outside of their own light body has lost themselves and the ability to create their own natural golden ratio bliss-generated Merkaba. And he states that they're either a disembodied spirit or a 4 to 7D ghost or a fallen angel that wants to play 3D artificial intelligence in the 3D life form that has not yet ascended. So a natural Merkaba, according to him, is a Christed being in his opinion. Now, I also have a theory about this Merkaba and ascension in that the entire Earth is inside a Merkaba, and when the Earth is inside its Merkaba and the counter-rotating tetrahedrons exceed the speed of light, then what's inside the Merkaba ascends to the next dimension. Now, I appreciate that I went over that relatively quickly, and again, as time permitting here, I would suggest either hearing the archive of the show to take note on those directions. But the Merkaba vehicle, a very, very, very powerful technique for those who resonate with that. I'm going to move on now to some techniques that are not so much meditations, but one area of technique that I call a technique is because it's about detoxing the body. The body, basically, for most people, they've accumulated so many toxins over the years that they've completely compromised their immune systems. According to Bashar, the toxicities lodge in places in the immune system that basically paralyzes it. And he highly recommends detoxing, and so does, by the way, Dr. Schultz at the American Botanical Pharmacy in Los Angeles. And I personally do the detox programs that are provided there with the colon, liver, and kidney detox programs. Each of the programs is a five-day program. And the first day is basically, well, I'm a vegan anyway, but you eat vegan food. On the second, third, and fourth days, it's all liquid food only, provided by the teas in the program. And then on the fifth day, you're back to vegan. So it's basically a five-day program with basically a three-day fast in the middle. And by the way, I just noticed today on the Internet in about three different places talks about how people can almost totally regenerate their immune systems with a three-day fast. And although many doctors do talk about they think there's some kind of danger in doing fasting, even the yogic masters suggest fasting once a week. Personally, I don't do it once a week, but I do these detox programs most every year. I look at it like kind of like car maintenance. You change the oil in your car because you want to protect the engine, and you detox the body because there's so many metals that we're getting from all kinds of different sources. Another way that you can extract some of those metals is colloidal silver, and actually probably the most powerful method I know of to eliminate metals from your system is the different salts, and there are ways of I'm trying to think of the bicarbonate. It's not bicarbonate of soda, but it's I'll have to try to think of that one, but it's a process that you can use to eliminate metals from the body. Another technique that I find is very valuable is placing positive thoughts on water. And water is totally impressionable by the consciousness around it. It picks up everything. So when you're putting positive vibrations into your water, you're going to get the benefit from that. It actually, the molecular structure of water actually changes. And if you're looking for more information on that, I would suggest Masaru Emoto, The Power of Water, and you can read up all about that important factor. It is, our bodies are mostly made of water, and we actually emit from the neural center in the heart region energy that's 5,000 times stronger than the brain waves. Which we emit constantly, and this energy is affecting our own waters as well as affecting the entire environment on this planet. So each of us, every moment, is actually affecting everybody else on the planet. And water is so very important. In fact, from my research, structured water or the natural flow of water, like from natural springs, that's the most powerful water. Once water starts going through pipes and goes through right angle turns and covers hundreds of miles to reach a destination, virtually that water is almost dead. And what's required here is putting positive vibration. You could play Bach or Beethoven music or around your water. You could put yogic yantras. You can just internally sending love vibrations into your water is a very powerful tool and really necessary because most people are drinking water, as I said, that's virtually not not containing the qualities of its original structured nature. Another technique that I would highly recommend is the blue energy, or what I call electromagnetic blue energy. If you've got some sort of a problem area on the body, you can visualize electromagnetic blue. It's a very bright, bright blue energy. And you can visualize this energy actually swirling around in a vortex in a counterclockwise direction around the afflicted area. Another take on this would be to use that energy in a seeing a coil of that blue energy coiling around your spinal column. And then swirling in a counterclockwise manner, swirling around your entire spinal cord, and then visualizing that electromagnetic blue energy encompassing your entire body, and that energy swirling in a counterclockwise, the electromagnetic blue energy swirling. And I know Bashar recommends this as well as a way to deal with afflicted areas of your body. Of course, my favorite topic probably is the whole idea of the technique of throwing positive spin and the power of positive spin, because in order to believe in the power of positive spin, you have to realize that your outer experience is the result of your emotions and your definitions and your thoughts and beliefs and how those are reflected back to you in your experience. And once you realize that, you realize that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meanings, that we place definitions and emotional spin on outer circumstances, and that's what gives rise to our experience of that circumstance. And thus, the power of positive spin being that you can, if you identify an area that you would perceive as being a negative, then my suggestion is to make note of it and then put a positive emotional spin on it. Even if you can't see any possible way something good can come from that, just put a positive emotional spin on it and then log the results. Now, some issues take longer time than others to accomplish, but over the course of time, once you catch on to this, it's very mind-blowing because it actually works. Because the way the universe works is it's holographic in nature, and there's these holographic inserts, let's say, that are associated with every situation. And by hitting upon the positive holographic inserts, you actually attract them into your experience. And it's actually a way of doing reality creation, which the last ET Yoga show was all about reality creation, three different aspects of reality creation. So if you're looking for information on that topic, you can go into the archives and look for the previous ET Yoga show, which is all about reality creation. Now, with respect to techniques, a lot of times people will ask questions like, you know, which technique should I use? I say you should use the techniques that you particularly resonate with, because that's the ones that probably are going to be most beneficial for you, the ones you believe in. And by the way, the thought just came back to me now, what I was trying to mention before about taking the detoxing and taking the metals from the body was bentonite clay. bentonite clay, very powerful substance that many people have found very effective with using with autistic children. You can put the bentonite clay in a small glass of water and mix it up and take it internally a couple times a day. You can also bathe in it, I think, between the 98 and 103 degrees, preferably in water that's been run through a filter. If you're looking for a good filter, Pro-Pure filters are quite good for in the shower area or developing a bath so that you're not bathing in all this toxicity from the fluorides that are being put in, there, in our water, which is basically toxic waste. So another technique, I guess you could almost call it, is, I do believe in water purifiers. Like I personally would not drink tap water. Although Pleiadians do say that if you put enough positive spin, emotional spin on tap water, it can be as good as pure water. But on the other hand, if you take the pure water and put positive spin, even better. And frankly, there's nothing like just natural structure water and then put positive spin on that. And when I'm actually in Europe, where I stay there, I actually go up in the mountains and get underground spring water from up in the mountains. And many, many people swear as to the healing qualities of that particular type of water. So with respect to techniques, as Satchinanda says, there's no requirement for techniques. It's a question of personal taste and choice. You do the ones you resonate with and the ones that you have the best experience in. And, of course, I'm always very interested in hearing about the success of listeners to ET Yoga with any of the techniques that are offered on the program. Makes my day to hear about your success. You can contact me at paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, at yahoo.ca, or go to the etyoga.com website and hit the contact button, and you can ask questions or send me information about your success with ideas, concepts that you hear on the program. And there's also the last technique that I want to talk about tonight. I'm going to give a little bit of a more detailed explanation of it, and that's the XYZ that's usually played at the end of the ET Yoga shows. And this one was originated by Bashar. The one you hear on this show is kind of like my take on it. It's a meditation that's designed to create expanded awareness, that you're creating different axes, the X, Y, and Z axis, to expand your consciousness. And it was designed so that you're able to communicate with any being in the entire universe because of the nature of how powerful it truly is. And this is, again, one that's played all the time at the end of the shows. And as usual, I like to wish everyone my sincere best towards your attainment of success doing any of the techniques mentioned on tonight's show, as well as your success in attaining full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And now I'd like to present, in closing, the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably, or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity. And it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you out the front all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 it begins to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension. A new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent, until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. be in your perfect place of peace, and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.